This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Get down to the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio to catch Jess Falstick! Host a lineup of regional and national comedians guaranteed to make you giggle! No charge to get in for that seat, but you'll only need the edge!
That's Jess Falstick!
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo. Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week we're talking about something I'm pretty passionate about, so strap in because it may get ugly. Joining us this week is Lousy Weather Media Network personality and artist Angel Keller.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on.
You can move that mic so it's like closer to you.
Okay, yeah, I'm still pretty new at this, guys. So
Look, it's got like an arm. It can go many different ways.
Yeah, there's a lot. Tools
of the trade. There's a lot to be done here.
Paul's lovely studio. He's got, you know, all the robot arms.
It's clean.
It's like podcasting with Bender.
Yeah, except you know, it's not all alcohol fueled because I'm here.
No, it's just 75% alcohol fueled.
Yeah, 75.
I'm drinking to kill the pain in my mouth right now, so.
Yeah, well, I know all about mouth pain, Jordan, so I sympathize.
I bet you do. Oh,
me too.
Yeah, occasionally I have to stretch my my tiny ass lips over a giant, never mind. So, Angel, why do you hate mental health stigma?
Well, I feel that it closes a lot of doors for people. I've had a lot of wasted time thinking that something I or my family or friends have dealt with for a long time is just either bad behavior or something you really just can fix. The whole stigma, there's a lot of different things I hate about it. We could go into different levels. I mean,
okay.
Main thing I'd have to say is we're not getting anywhere by thinking that anyone with mental illness is bad or can help.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't help that every time there's a mass shooting, they say it's a mental health issue, which is a pretty broad brush to paint everything with. It kind of lumps everything together. So as soon as you say that you're mentally ill, like, people make that connection. Like, you're mentally ill, are you going to shoot up a school? And that's not necessarily what it means.
Well, also, like, I mean, the whole how pedophiles fucking mask, you know, what, you know, that they're mentally ill. They have a sickness. Like, no, fuck you. You're a piece of shit. But I don't know. I've never really viewed, like, because, you know, when you said mental health stigma, like, I figured what we were going to be talking about is, like, you know, how people are just like, oh, you're crazy, you know, and just broad, like, just that broad term or whatever. That's what I figured, but I understand what you're saying.
Well, really, it kind of changed, because over the past couple of days, I've been thinking about it, and I'm always thinking about it, but, I mean, it's really pretty broad here. Like, my main problems are when people say things like they see someone acting out or acting, maybe someone who's on drugs or something, and they're like, oh, that person's acting schizophrenic, or oh, you're being so bipolar right now, or
people say that.
Oh yeah.
Oh, all the time. Or like somebody, oh, you're being really, I hear it all the time at work. You're so OCD, you like to clean. Like, that's not what OCD, it's not just cleaning. No. It's not, and people that are schizophrenic are not all seeing and hearing things that aren't there. Like, they're that is a part of it, but that doesn't mean that every single person that has schizophrenia or that is bipolar or that has depression is suffering the same way, this, you know, or like... When people say things like that, it takes away from the seriousness of what's actually going on with these disorders. Like, oh, like you're just feeling a little bit depressed. There's a difference between, like, being sad about something because it's a sad thing right. and waking up and feeling like you're a shell of a human and you can't.
Yeah,
you
I, know mean, what I mean, I've never been clinically diagnosed with anything, but I mean... I definitely say I'm on the spectrum of a few things. I'm not opposed to people getting help or being on medication. I've never wanted to go down that road because I know from experiences that I know many people with mental health issues, and they feel that it turns them into a zombie and that, you know, they're just like very numb to everything. And I never wanted to do that. And I figured I've made it this far, like dealing with my issues. So like that, I think I'll continue to do it. Cause I mean, like when I said I was on the spectrum of certain things, I mean, I definitely have mood swings a lot, which is, you know, a symptom of bipolar disorder, I believe. And hey, fatty. Shears eating delicious Reese's. Are those the ones with Reese's Pieces?
No, they're the ones with cookies. Oh, the
crunchy. But like, you know, which I know is going back to what I was saying, is like a symptom of bipolar disorder, or I mean, super manic, like very manic depressive. Like I have, I'm not saying that I'm manic depressive, but I have episodes and, my anxiety goes through the roof, you know? And I, like I said, I've never been diagnosed, but like, I mean, I've read up on enough on it. And I'm like, oh, that's yep. Not that I'm one of those people that gets on WebMD and fucking, you know, like...
Cause it's easy to do, though. Well, when you're looking absolutely. Up symptoms and you're trying to figure out what's wrong, like, that is actually a kind of a problem, but it's, I don't know, at least somebody's getting somewhere. At least somebody's looking into it and being a little bit more aware of maybe you're learning about what somebody else might be going right. through no, while you're looking to find some sort of answers for how you're feeling or... Well, what it is.
I think we have to address something real quick before we move on, though. The whole going through treatment for mental health disorders and becoming a zombie. All right. Mm-hmm. It's something that, especially because I've been very public with, you know, hey, I'm going back on medication and I'm going mm-hmm. to therapy. So people have, you know, often confronted me with, aren't you worried about losing your creative instinct? Aren't you worried about losing your feelings? Because it seems to be, you know, a thing that everybody thinks happens. But the problem is, when you go through the process of getting on the correct medication, it's not always right the first time because medication is a lot of guess and check. So, yeah, you may go through a period where you don't feel right. You don't feel like you're feeling things correctly. But, you know, it's something that you have to discuss with your professional so that it's like, I don't like feeling like this. What can we do to fix it? It's, you know, it's a side effect, not the end result of treatment. Like, the objective of going to treatment isn't to turn you into a zombie. Right. It's to make you well.
Right. No, and I understand that.
It's work. There's a lot of things that you have to go through. Someone I care about very much just recently this year got diagnosed with anxiety. And it's painful to watch somebody go through that all of a sudden. Somebody to be so chill and so, like, never had a, you know, had a good life growing up. Nothing happened that I know of that he shared. But it was painful to watch them go from medication to medication to therapy, trying everything. I mean, we did the Headspace. Yoga, all kinds. I don't know. I just read everything there was to read about all kinds of stuff like that. And there's no relief for that person yet. And he's still going through trying to find a way to feel better. But that takes work. But also, I think a lot of him even saying anything for a while was just, he was afraid of being looked at different or not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I like, I had a mental break. I believe I've talked about it on the show before. About 6 months ish after I had my DUI, I was just working in a bar, like just skating by, like barely, and I had this thing going on with the girls that was, and you know, it ended. She ended up ghosting me, and like. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. It wasn't just that. It was a lot of other things, and it was a lot of pent-up stuff from my accident. And I had, like, a total manic breakdown, and, like, people close to me knew something was wrong because, like, I went and spent, like, 3 days at my parents' house, which I would never, unless I, like, needed, you know, absolutely needed to.
Yeah.
So I do get that to an extent because I... My mom was like, my mom and dad both were like, you know, maybe you need to go talk to somebody. And I was like, well, I'm not, you know, I don't want to be viewed as fucking crazy. And it's like, now my view on that now, though, is completely different, you know, mm-hmm. like, because once I have talked to somebody just a couple times, but it's like, I'm a firm believer and that does help. Like, not, doesn't have to be prescription or, you know, whatever, just like to talk to a third party that is gonna, I'd say most times, gonna try and give you their best advice on like not knowing everything about you.
Yeah. Well, I actually I used to get really upset when somebody would describe me as go like, oh, you're crazy or blah blah, she's crazy. You know, that used to really piss me off. I would get really upset, like, what do you mean? You wanna see crazy? Like, yeah. I'll fucking show you crazy. But yeah. Then it's like that I'm proving a point here, but it's just like I remember the first time I felt okay with somebody calling me this, and it was like a good friend, you know, phenomenal artist, someone that
you respect.
I looked up to a lot. Yeah. Yeah, just like, and she was wild, she was fun, you know, a mm-hmm. Little bit crazy herself, and she's like, oh yeah, we're walking down the street, and she's like, you're crazy or something like that, and it hurt for a second because I was like, man, you too, like yeah. everybody, you know, like yeah. what do you mean? She's like, no, like. That's good, though. Like, you're an individual. Like, yeah. you know, just because you have these things going on doesn't make you any less of a person. Doesn't
right,
make you,
exactly.
Doesn't make you stupid. No. Doesn't make you undesirable. It doesn't, you know what I mean? She's like, you're just...
Most crazy people are fucking geniuses.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, a lot of people that, I was actually looking up a lot of that stuff. Like, Buzz Aldrin had depression and he walked on the fucking moon. Like, who wouldn't, though? What do you do after that, though?
Right.
Like, I've been to the moon, allegedly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm just, a warehouse. But I
mean, something like that. At least he's down yeah. in history, is it? Whatever.
Yeah, no, you know, no,
you
I,
know what
I'm
I mean?
Just, yeah.
But, yeah, there's just a lot of people that have done great things. 1 in 4 people have mental illness.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so
it's not...
when you think about it, this route, one, well, I think it's a little. Off here. The scale's off today in this particular room.
There's a whole lot of fucking crazy in this room right now.
There's a whole lot of crazy in this room. But I think the big problem is that we're all everybody's afraid to say what they're going through because they're afraid it's going to be. My dad even said something like, oh, you need to go talk to somebody. Mm. Maybe you're having some issues here. And whether it be long term or temporary, he's no, it'll be used against me. And I thought that was horrible. But it's true. Like, it's been used against me in, like, you know, relationships when I'm having a bad day. Just a legitimate bad day. Like, yeah. Oh, you just stubbed your toe and now you're freaking out. Like, oh, you're crazy, you know?
Yeah.
That's, it happens a lot with, you know, you're having a perfectly normal emotional reaction to something and then it gets blown out of proportion like you're going crazy.
Yeah.
And then you start to wonder... Like, every fucking emotion that you have, like, am I just being a lunatic or, like, what's wrong with me? And it's,
Yeah, those are the worst feelings. Those, like, when you start really doubting yourself, like, because you're already doubting yourself, whatever that, whatever the situation or it, whatever it may be, you're already doubting that. And then you start analyzing how you're reacting to it. And
yeah.
That is, like, that is... arguably worse.
It is, yeah. It's hard to be constantly questioning yourself already, and then, you know.
And then other people just contribute to that because, you know, and especially after you've been open with somebody about, you know, what you're going through, then all of a sudden it gets thrown back in your face. And Yeah, which has happened to me quite a bit.
Well, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
We call each other crazy all the time.
That's okay. So. I like it. No, yeah. Actually, I was really happy to, like, come... Anyways, yeah, meet you guys.
Talk to us about
talk
it.
To you guys. Yeah. It's nice to find people that are nuts. Also like, oh, hey, cool. We're all going to fucking freak out and it's going to be fun. And, you know, it's a way to turn the situation. Like, you're not alone, though. I guess that's the main point.
Right.
Is you're not alone and more people have it. The problem is that it's looked at as such a bad thing or it's just looked at as bad and nobody wants to talk about it, and nobody wants to admit that they might have something, or nobody wants to go seek treatment because they don't want to. They're afraid of being medicated and being zombies.
And I don't think, and I think now, like nowadays, like it's much more, you know, like the acting out thing. Like there's more efforts to
there
make
are more
it,
recently,
you know, make it. What's the word I'm looking for?
Normalize it.
Yeah, normalize it for people. Whereas it's like if we were living back in like the 70s or even the 80s, like you've just been like shut out and like, oh, give them a fucking lobotomy and electroshock therapy or something.
My family motto is to just get another job about it. Like you just go to work and shut up. And
that'll drive you nuts too.
Well, it's even in amongst people that I'm close to, it's been suggested that, you know, are you sure that you're really going through this and that you're not just being hormonal? Are you sure that you're just not having a hard time right now and that this isn't really a thing? You know, it's tough to explain to people. It's like, no, like there's something wrong with my brain. And, you know, this is what I have to do in order to get, like, my shit together enough to function. And if I'm not, you know, doing the work because, you know, taking your medication on time and going to therapy and going to see, you know, all the doctors that you have to go, that's part of the work. Like, it's a lot of work just to stay functional. You know, people don't seem to get that. They think this is like
a choice.
It's a choice.
Much like being gay.
Yeah. Yeah. Being gay and being crazy are choices.
Yeah.
This is all a lie. I'm just doing this so that I have
A podcast?
A podcast and an insanity excuse for when I stab rapists.
Zinger.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I don't want to say something, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's fine.
Happens a lot on this show.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We get sidetracked. We go into other things all as well. It's a lot of work. And then, you know, there are people that, you know, there are other reasons that people don't go to therapy besides... you know, worrying that they're going to become a zombie, worrying that people are going to use against them. A lot of what happens to people, you know, causes them to be mentally ill. Like it's based in trauma. And, you know, part of that work is going and having to relive it. And that's very, very, very difficult to do. You know, the first time I went to a trauma therapist, like that's a specialization, it felt like I was talking to the cops. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of...
What do you mean, like very accusatory or just very like systematic questions?
Both.
Okay.
You know, it. Considering what I've gone through, just the tone of the questioning, the way he was looking at me and like the, you know, it just seemed like, you know, this is out of a book and like, it didn't make me feel good. I still kept going because it's like, it's still a better reaction than I've gotten from past therapists. Like I've had a couple more than a few quit on me. So just got a letter today that the therapist I was seeing in Kent left the profession. So well,
the fact that, I mean, you brought it up on Twitter a couple months ago that you argued with your therapist about God for an hour. Mm-hmm. And like my first initial thought was, I mean, I'm sure this will piss some people off because I know we have some believers that listen, but like, I just feel like if you're going to be a mental health professional, like, you know, your job is based in science. And, yeah. like, I'm sorry, but religious people should not be allowed to, or just shouldn't, in general, go after that profession because their answers are not going to be, they're not going to be based in reality.
Actually, when I was in, I got a DUI, my second DUI, actually.
Ooh.
Before I moved to Columbus in 2014. And amongst other things, I had to go to therapy for alcohol. You know, like, okay. I had to, that's what it started out as.
Oh, you didn't lie?
No, I did, and they didn't believe me the second time around.
The second time around,
they're like, all right, no.
Yeah, okay, no, fair enough,
I did.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I really did myself in there.
I told him I never smoked weed before.
Like, oh, I totally lied about all that stuff, yeah, too, but...
So part of it was going to therapy.
So I had to go to therapy. It was court mandated, and it was like... I couldn't find anywhere that I could afford at the time, right. because I moved somewhere, and I was working at Mark's as a cashier just to pick up a job and keep going.
They got Mark's in Columbus?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
They used credit cards and stuff before. Well, anyways, okay. Who cares? So I found this place, and it was actually like a Christian-based...
Really?
But they were super helpful, actually. They never once mentioned...
Brought up God or
never
anything.
Once. Nope. They just... it was affordable. And here's the thing I didn't like about it is once I finally got matched up with a counselor that would work for me, or a therapist, actually, I was telling her a story about something... And most of the time, she cried. And I was like, all right, can you quit being a weak bitch for a second? Because
yeah.
I need you to be the strong, like, why are you crying?
Yeah,
like,
right.
And this is the day that she actually told me, she's like, I think, you know, we're going to have to start working on stuff. Like, you have PTSD.
Yeah.
And I was fucking pissed at her. Yeah. I looked at her like, can't you just tell me I'm bipolar or something? Yeah. Like, can't we just do something a little bit more, what's the treatment for that even? You know, like, well, I just remember being pissed at her and then being like, I'm not going to give, no, I'm not listening to you. You cried.
Yeah.
You can't be a doctor and cry when somebody's telling you stories.
No, like, that's not very professional. But I mean, like, that, I didn't, it was funny, like, after I got in my accident, because mine was a traumatic accident. Like, I flipped my car and, like, snapped my arm in half and shit. And I didn't realize that, a lot of people told me, like, hey, like, be careful, you might have PTSD. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And granted, I was also getting 180 fucking 5 milligram oxycodones
yes.
a month. So it was like, I was numb to everything. I was numb the way I wanted to be numb to everything. And... like, when that came to the tail end is, like, when shit started really, like, getting bad
mm-hmm.
was, it was just, when I went and finally talked to somebody, like, they were like, you have post-traumatic stress syndrome from your accident. Like, you don't realize what you did to your body and your mind. And I was like, holy shit. And, like, I'm not a crier really by any means, but, like, when I spent that 3 days at my parents' house that I was talking about, I would just break down, I mean, multiple times. And I guess the reason I was at my parents' house was because I was like, these are the only people I can do this in front of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a familiar feeling. So
I also had a negative reaction when I was diagnosed with PTSD. I was, like, pissed. Because it's like, you know, I thought that I was doing all right with it. I mean, I wasn't, you know, because I was still... getting triggered when people touched me. You know, I didn't think that's what it was. I just thought it was something that I could work through. It wasn't a disorder. And then I get diagnosed with it. And I think part of the reason that I was so pissed, and I'm not sure if you had the same thought process, but thanks to the internet, basically, you know, miscategorizing the word triggered as only having to do with PTSD and basically that you need to go to your hug box and cry.
What's a hug box?
Yeah, well, safe space, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's what it
is. Because I have a drug box.
Yeah, you can put your weed in it.
I also have a drug box.
No comment.
Yeah. It's, but, you know, I just thought, like, I'm not this guy. I'm not the guy that, like, if somebody says something that I'm going to have a bad reaction. I'm not like these people. Like, what?
Yeah, actually, here's the thing. I still haven't figured out what I actually get. I don't feel like I've ever been soberly triggered. Or maybe there's been times where it's like, I know I've had crazy reactions to stuff, but I can't think of it when it happens. It's just I get this whole numbness in my face and my hands, and then a lot of times it's crying fits. It's not necessarily like a rage thing. Mm-hmm. It's just like embarrassing. And it usually happens when I'm drunk for like the longest time. I'm like, am I just drunk crying girl? Or like, I'm just losing control of your emotions, of my emotions. So,
could be a combination of both.
I think so. Were you white girl wasted? Depends on what I was drinking. There are certain things I don't hit up anymore. Like, vodka is not my friend. Never was.
Yeah.
That stupid bitch vodka.
I still drink it, but I exclusively pretty much drink it with, unless I'm drinking like a martini, I'll drink it with cranberry juice. But there was a while for me where I would drink Svedka and Monster.
Oh my God.
And
like a trash can.
It turned me into that.
Yeah.
A monster. Like
a Svedkamist.
Yeah, not that like I was I've never been like a violent drunk or anything, or even like really an angry drunk. I mean, I have gotten angry when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
But like I would just like I was a fucking maniac, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. I've taken breaks before when I'm not mentally right. Like, I just kind of had a thing happen, and I was just super sad, so I took a break, and I'm like, I definitely did one of those things where it's like, never again, I'm never touching this shit again. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, I'm drinking a beer right now. I don't even care. Whatever.
No.
But, like, I know that that's something I have to keep an eye on, pretty much.
Oh, I mean, definitely. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, Sheer doesn't drink anymore.
No, and he's... that's awesome. That's actually probably the best way to go about things. But
I mean, like, for whatever reason, since I started dating my girlfriend a couple months ago, like, my drink... because she doesn't drink. But my drinking habits have even... I mean, from when Sheer first met me, my drinking habits then... to even my drinking habits a year ago when we started this show, to my drinking habits now, are all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's decreased quite a bit. And I actually like that a lot because, I mean, like a lot of people do, you know, you self-medicate. And
yeah,
the
worst thing to fucking do
when you are sad is drink. And for years I just kept doing it. And then I was wondering why I was so sad all the time. It's like, it sucks literally all the serotonin out of your body, especially when you drink for 8 hours at a time.
Well, your next day, like my friend and I always joke about it. We both drink, and we'll call each other even when I lived away in Columbus, which isn't that far. But anyways, we would call each other, and she would kind of call me for reassurance in the morning, like, man, I'm feeling like shit. This is what happened. And I would laugh my ass off at these stories she would tell me. She's like, so it's funny, right? Like, like, yeah, it is, actually. Like, I would tell you if it's something that you're, whoa, dude.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Chill, but...
like a real friend would.
She'd just have to call me sometimes and be like, am I just, like, super sad, like, hungover anxiety? Is it hangover anxiety? Or, like, this is what she called it. But, I don't know. I was kind of getting towards the drinking thing because it's, like, that's something that... I do for fun. And mm-hmm. then there are also those days where it's like,
I need a beer.
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
A couple of my close friends have told me that, you know, jokingly, that I'm exhausting to be around. And that's something that, you know, they're sweet. They're my friends. They're great. They don't mean anything malicious by telling me stuff like that. But
if anything, they're being honest with
you. Yeah. And I love it. And I love that they tell me this stuff. Because then I do ponder on it. You know, because I was like, God, if you think it's fucking exhausting, try being in my head for 5 seconds. I need a beer because I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I fucking need to just slow down. I need to dumb it down. Like, chill.
I never understood that whole like when people are like, fuck, I just need a beer, because it was always for me, it was like, fuck, I need 12 beers. But like now
I need 100 beers.
Like, I used to be, out of all my friends, I was the beer math guy. So like, if there was a party, because we used to live at a place that did shows, and it was like, I was the beer math guy. Like, if we ran out of beer, I'd like be in my head and be like, okay, so approximately 8 to 10 beers for everybody to get drunk. We need 430 racks. Like, and I was the beer math guy. But it's just, I understand it now, because like, I don't like to drink on work nights at all. So I, every once in a while though, like I'll have a rough day, or maybe not even a rough day, and I'm just like, I need to relax. And now I get that like 1 to 2 beers thing. Whereas I used to not have an off switch, you know, and I think that was a lot of coping for me.
I should have quit a while ago. But the reason that I didn't was because I didn't want people to think I had a problem. So I just had like the public drink. So it was like, no, guys, everything's together. Like, I'm perfectly normal. And then like 6 beers later,
I'm Jeremy Clear.
6 beers later, when I have somebody up against the wall and I'm threatening to kill them, it's like, oh, yeah, maybe I need to not do this, because it's like I just have a hard time handling my emotions when I get pissed off. And
I started carrying a knife, so you don't have to.
Yeah, it's good. I like got rid of all my weapons.
I know.
I don't even know what happened. The last knife I bought wasn't even to stab people with. It was to fucking open up the projector screen that I got. Like, I got like a $2 knife from Walmart. It's like, I need to open up this screen, and I don't know where the scissors are, so here's a knife. And then all of a sudden, I'm pulling it at somebody at a show. It's like, yeah, I don't need this anymore. And then Tabitha hid it from me. I don't know where it is. So, but, you know, it a big part of the deal for me is I need to have control over my shit, because once it's, you know, once I'm off on a rage, like, you know, I've got to hide myself away so I don't do anything stupid, get off the internet, and just...
Yeah, but those are the times that I worry about you.
Well, it's... I've put a lot of my friends, you included, through like basically having to deal with me when I'm completely out of my mind.
I think I do a pretty good job.
Well, it's not that you don't. It's just I don't think that you should have to. So, you know, like it, I just don't want to put anybody through that. So I just, you know, I'll retreat instead of like, you know, going, trying to talk my way through it, because you just, I just sound like a lunatic.
But you're my lunatic.
Yeah, at the end of the day, man, you're not really put, like, people know when to back out when they've had enough, you know what I mean? And like, you...
I just feel like it's, especially over the past year, it's been like a constant thing. It's like, you know, I'm always mad about the same shit, so...
I mean, it has, definitely. I mean... And I'm not saying that in any bad way or any kind of demeaning way.
Well, there's reasons. He's passionate about these things. Well,
and I sympathize with 90% of what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's...
it's frustrating. It's, here's the thing. It's just like... When more people just need to kind of talk about it, but there's also that point where people are interested and they need to do it the right way. Mm-hmm. You need to go talk to an actual professional about it.
Yeah.
And there is a problem with, I think, when a certain, like, say, I think we know enough about it to not sit here and, like, try to, sometimes friends try to self, or diagnose right. each other.
Yeah.
Or, like, when they're going through something and they notice similar things, you know, mm-hmm. maybe you might be bipolar, maybe you might be this. It's like, yeah. maybe that's a great suggestion, but don't, you know. Let's talk to mental health professionals.
I've found myself guilty of that.
I've done it, too. And it's because you want to help. It's not because you're trying to sit there and play doctor. It's that you just, some people are, they're too afraid to go talk to people. They're too afraid of, and it's, the consequences are, like, today I was actually thinking a lot about this. Like, I'm actually going to say this out loud, you know, like, mm-hmm. I've told a couple people about PTSD and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I was super, not just with the, you know, the trigger thing, but, you know, there have been people that have come out with that, and somebody asked something like, okay, where did you serve?
Oh, yeah, that whole thing.
And you know what? Nobody's trying to take away from that.
No.
No.
Well, you know, that's not fair. I have
a friend who, when I was going through that stuff, the PTSD stuff, he is a few years, he's about Shear's age, and he is a Marine, and he did 2 tours in Fallujah. Like, which is the worst of the worst in that fucking in that war, and he, like, I felt like a lesser of a person when they told me I had PTSD. I felt like I didn't want to tell him that because I was like, what he's gone through and what I'm going through are just like different things. And he was obviously infinitely cool about it, but like, he was like, no, dude, it doesn't just exist for people like me or, you know, or veterans.
It's scary, honestly, to even say stuff like that. Because I'm not necessarily afraid of somebody judging me or thinking that I'm saying something like that for attention.
Right.
But
there are people who
like being accused of lying over something that's very serious. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, that is something that will piss me off. Like, when I'm don't tell me I'm bullshitting about something that's very difficult that I deal with day to day. And a lot of people do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and if I, exactly. If I am, fuck me. Like, it's terrible. Like,
No. I'm saying if they are saying that to you, like, if they're saying, oh, you're lying or you're blowing this out of proportion, fuck you. You don't know, like, what's going on in my head.
When did everybody become fucking doctors, too? When did everybody...
Even though that's what we're acting as right now. Like, the three of us are all counseling each other.
No, we're trying to help. You know what I mean? But here's that's fine. Just shut up. Like, don't try to diagnose your friends. But at the end of the day, if you're on this side of it, you know, fine. Just check yourself a little bit. But
for the record, if the government ever gave me a prescription pad, something is fucked up. Something is definitely fucked up.
Maybe one day.
But
I'll get one.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't want one. I'm just
illegally,
saying.
Illegally, I'll be in jail. I hope to get letters from you guys.
Dr. Mantis Toboggan.
Well, here, what I was going with the shit, sorry, I got so off track. Where were we going, Jimmy?
Oh, we're talking about everybody becoming a doctor and...
Oh, here's the thing. Okay, so my parents were talking about... Not my parents, somebody else. somebody was talking about... So there's this 14-year-old girl that has been cutting herself in somewhere, right? And my dad's talking to me about it, and he's like, well, she's giving them a lot of problems, you know, with her cutting and stuff. And I'm like, I'm just sitting there like mouth open. She's like, what are you fucking saying? Like, what do you mean she's giving them problems? I'm like, oh,
she,
you think she wants
has
it for
issues.
Yeah, exactly. Here, why don't you replace the word with attention? Replace attention with help. Yeah. Like, all she wants is attention.
Yeah.
She's doing this for attention. Help.
Who cuts themselves for attention?
She needs help.
Yeah.
You guys, and it's becoming, and...
Maybe it is for attention because she needs the attention for help.
She needs a fucking doctor. Yeah. Like, Or something, like, this is maybe you're the problem. You guys are the ones going, oh, she's giving me so many issues with her issues that I've probably caused. Like, not really, but
I mean... Is she listening to a lot of From First to Last?
Oh, shit, I don't even know that stuff.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible music.
Okay, good.
I didn't cut myself for attention. I cut myself because I wanted to feel something else besides lousy.
Why didn't you punch yourself then?
Because well, I hear. Felt better.
There's a lot of different. There's a lot of different reasons why people do that. But my main thing is like, yeah, they're doing it to directly disrupt your life.
Yeah.
No, they're fucking not. No. This is terrible. Get that girl some help. Everybody start learning more. I don't know. Like, it's just frustrating.
I didn't want to go down this road, but like you bring that up, like. The fact that, like, as we've gotten older, you know, our generation, like, the fact that I have to read articles about 9- and 10-year-old kids killing themselves.
Yeah.
Like, what in the fuck is going on? Like, why would a child even know what that means or how to do it or how to go about it? Like... These things need to be fucking addressed.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's, suicidal ideations are tough because, it's, something is wrong. It's not, that's not like the, unless you're like at end of life, which, like, that's another discussion.
You mean like, you mean like euthanasia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Angel of death.
Yeah. It's not like there shouldn't be like in a healthy brain somebody going, well, this isn't going on. Maybe I should just end it. And it being like, well, okay. So what the you know, that's if you need help, like just, I don't know, man, it's tough because I've tried a few times and people always say, well, if you ever need anything, like fucking call me or something. But, you know, when I was at that point, I didn't want to fucking talk to anybody. I just wanted to die. And so I don't know where I was going with
that. Well, let me publicly say this, that if you're ever feeling like that again, do call me. I'll come kill you for wanting to fucking kill yourself, you jackass.
Yeah,
well, I love you. Stop thinking like that. Actually, but he can't because he's crazy.
Well, yeah, you can't. That's another thing. Actually, I just wanted to... I heard this analogy when I was listening to something, and it's actually like a 9/11 analogy. So a lot of people jump to their deaths on, you know, rather than burn to death.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's a lot... That's kind of an analogy for my suicide. Like, would you rather stay in this burning building where you're going to be burned, or would you rather just jump to your...
Well, because... Well, I think, you know, because...
I'm not trying to normalize that. You're not normalize it. That's not what I meant. But I'm not trying to make it sound like a sweet deal here.
It makes sense.
But I just thought that, and it made me so sad because it's like you're looking... You know, here's how you feel day to day.
Yeah.
And nobody understands it. But people do, but not the way you do because you're an individual. You have different...
You're in the fire.
Human behavior and social environment and chemicals.
I think the upside to jumping is that you're probably going to die of shock before you hit the ground.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, is it... Do you take the constant burning?
Right. Well, I mean...
Well, you're eventually going to peace out.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I'm fucking up this analogy.
I mean, but it's... I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, do you want to... I mean, essentially, it's like you're not gonna burn to death. You're gonna choke to death first. But like,
you're getting real, like...
I mean,
crime scene on it.
Yeah. No, I'm just... I'm thinking about it. Like, the smoke's gonna kill you before the fire gets to you. It's not like you're gonna be like standing in fucking flames. Like, come on, bring it on. It's gonna be... You're gonna die of smoke inhalation first. But if you jump, chances are you're gonna die of shock before you fucking hit the ground.
Either way, it's just like...
I'm a suicide scientist.
Yeah.
It's my new band, by the way.
I did not know that about you. Yeah. I'm learning a lot of things about you today. Yeah. I don't know. It just, it's so, like, nobody wants to talk about it. People get uncomfortable. And even when somebody says that they're having a bad day in general, like, I'm a server at a restaurant. Most of my work has been customer service. And you ask someone how they're doing. And I actually really like it when people tell me shitty or just garbage. And they look at me like I'm going to be like, oh, well, let me try to cheer you up. Yeah. And it's like, I don't.
Well, I mean, like, for my job, I'm a glorified fucking telemarketer. And it's funny, like, because I call businesses. I don't call people at home. Mm-hmm. But it's like, so at home, you'll get more like, oh, not so great. But, like, you know, when I get somebody on the business line, it's like, oh, hey, yeah, I was like, oh, how you doing today? And they're like, not very good. And like, my, like, this is not the person that I am. But I'm like, oh, well, you know, you just got to take it one day at a time. By the way, the reason I'm calling.
Oh, like, that's like a Mike Judge movie.
It's terrible. Like, my job makes me crazier. Like, it brings my anxiety levels to unthought of fucking levels. But we're not here to talk about that.
When I'm feeling my most mad, I think I almost do some of this stuff to myself. Like, I'm my most angry, and I'll turn on Tiny Tim. And it's like, this is why I'm insane, because I'm listening to, like, Living in the Sun, you know, that whole, I'm so happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I turn on Tiny Tunes because Buster was great.
Buster. He was great.
So, what you're trying to tell us is Buster was great, but you have folders and folders of Babs Bunny erotica at your house.
Nude Babs!
Did I ever tell you that Wayne's World's one of my top five favorite movies? Did you ever think that when Bugs Bunny dressed up as a girl bunny?
Oh my god.
See?
That bunny.
That, yeah.
Bunny's got a human dick.
Bunny dick.
Bunny dick.
Hot bunny dick. On the next episode of Let the Hate Flow Through.
Who hates Hot Bunny Dick?
It's Duck Dick season.
Bunny Dick season.
Duck Dick.
Bunny Dick.
All right.
What about this dick?
Oh, it's this dick season.
So, yeah, it's, I don't know. There's a million things I really wanted to bring up, but I also like can't keep focused.
This dick season. I'm sorry. That was great.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we've got time, so
okay.
So, all right. Going back to stigma, though, in your day to day retail life, how has it affected your job?
Well, it hasn't really affected my jobs, because most of the time I've been cleaning houses and waiting tables and bartending.
So
I've
had a job about it?
Yeah.
It's a callback.
It was what you said. Which job? Because I have a lot of issues, and so that's why I have so many jobs. But I clean, and it's nice because I get to listen to headphones, and it doesn't really affect what it affects. I'm terrible at keeping time and like being on time for stuff. And I will wake up early, but I also have ADHD. So I'm constantly like, even in this conversation, I'm trying to like listen, and I'll just look over and be like, oh, fuck, that door's really white or something really stupid. Like, you know, just anything. Yeah. But with customer service, it's been actually fine, because people come in pissed off. Like, at Mark's is where, I guess, the most public place I've been, besides an actual restaurant,
right,
where I'm dealing with pissed off people. I was a customer service manager at Mark's. You mean
people weren't having fun for their money or saving?
No. I had an old man throw a bouquet of flowers at me one time, and it was like the saddest thing ever.
Oh, he loved you.
No, he hated me, because he wanted to return the flowers because his wife didn't like them, and like my boss was standing there. And I used to return shit all the time. That was like, it was not a problem. I didn't care. Like, I wasn't gonna shame people for wanting their money back for some garbage they bought here. Like, you know. But just so happens that day, there's a manager behind me, and no return on plants of any kind. And the guy's like, just throws. He's like, "Well, I bought him, right? And you're not gonna give me my money back for him?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, you know, like I wish I could, but that's just the policy on plants, and there's nothing I can do about it." So he's like, "So they're mine, right?" He's, "I could do anything I want with them." And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Mm. He's going to shove them right in my ass and I'm going to get to go home.
I like how that's the progression of thought.
No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe I'll get really lucky.
He just threw them at me and walked out. But so I just laughed about that.
So that's why you have PTSD.
It's really getting hit with those terrible, ugly flowers.
Those fucking dandelion looking flowers.
He shouldn't have bought in the first fucking place.
I fucking hate tulips.
So over cactus.
Triggered by Tulips is my new band name.
Triggered by Tulips. Yeah, actually with the waiting tables and stuff, that was fine, but... bartending was a little bit different, actually. When I first started bartending, I tried to be, like, super feminist bartender. I made zero money. Zero. You know, I wouldn't wear low-cut shirts, and I wasn't into the whole, like, you know, if you'd smile more, you'd probably make more money. And that used to drive me fucking crazy, because it's like, I'm really trying to focus here. Like, I'm crowded here. This is a very crowded space.
Yeah.
This is my job. This is great. But, like, also you're drooling. And, you know, I don't know. Just, like, a lot of sexual harassment going on. But also, like, fuck it. Like, I always used to think, I have thick skin. It's fine.
When I was a bartender, I basically pretended that I was their pharmacist and therapist.
That, no, like, you hear so many stories, but that was the problem sometimes, is that people would come to me and ask me about stuff like relationship advice and stuff, and I'm kind of looking at them like, you know what kind of relationship I'm in? Like, we don't talk. Like, we don't do it. Like, why are you looking for advice from me? But really, they just wanted anybody to talk to.
Yeah, they just want somebody to talk to.
Anybody. I swear to God, I do it too. Best, I think I did it last night. I'm pretty sure my bartender became my therapist last night.
Yeah, no, best therapy you're going to get if you're, you know, not opposed to drinking is a bartender. Because they're going to listen to everything you have to say. And if they're real, they're not going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to be honest with you.
Right. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a way that it's really affected my job. But there have been times where I just... haven't gone into work because I woke up late and then I had such bad anxiety about what I was going to say, what happened, and never fucking showed up again.
Yeah.
Like, that's happened so many times. I'm just like, I can't even, and I get worked up about it. And like, I'm a very good worker, actually. That's like my one saving grace with like, I'll show up classically 3 to 5 minutes late sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time. But I always do what I'm supposed to do. I'm friendly to my coworkers, and I go above and beyond. I do shit like that because I have to, because I show up fucking late all the time.
Yeah.
But it's just like a time management thing, or I don't know, if I fuck up and in the slightest bit, I start to get really worked up. Like the bar I work at now, when we fill up at like 30 people at a time, it doesn't come in waves. It comes all at once, and I just start freaking out. And my coworkers are great because I'm open about it. I'm like, listen, I will help you do anything. Like, you ask me to help you, and I will help you. But you have to understand that I'm going to say yes to stuff because I want to help you, but I probably should not be doing it. I'm probably in my own little world freaking out. Like, I cry a lot. I almost cry at work a lot. Not a lot of people see it, but it's there. It's coming. It's like one fucked up taco away from like fucking mental breakdown. Like, but it's okay, actually. I chose
work
my
can
profession.
Be therapeutic.
Yeah. No,
work
I chose my therapeutic. I very carefully over the years, I've used what I'm good at. I'm good at cleaning. And I'm personable, and with cleaning, it's like, you know, I might be there. I'm like the cable guy. I might show up between, you know, 1 and 5.
Oh, but not the Jim Carrey cable guy where you're going to, like, stalk somebody. And
make... We'll see about next year. All right. I don't know.
All right.
Let's see how this develops. But I don't know. I haven't found anybody worth stalking yet, but I feel like there's potential there. I don't know.
Somebody stalk worthy.
Works hard, but I mean, I actually put myself, I work to not feel a lot of the feelings that I feel day to day. I am on the clock. I am making money. I am, you know, doing something. I don't know. I'm fixing it, I think. But then there are days where I run myself into the fucking ground.
Well, I mean, like a big part of where my like neurosis and neurotic bullshit comes from is like, I was a fuck up for 10 years. You know, I was
trying to play catch up.
I was a big fuck up.
I know that game.
And I've always been a hard worker, but it's like I've quit a million jobs, blah, 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 this, that, the other thing. So like for once in my life, shit is going pretty well. And I am constantly like, okay, I'm going to get fired and this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And like, it's all fucking nonsense. Like when I really break it down and sit there, I'm like, no, you're doing a good job. And like my aunt, who I'm very, very, very close with, she's like, she calls me Jordy. She's like, you're not used to your life going well. You need to accept this and like, and fucking be okay with life going okay. I'm like, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. This is fucked.
Yeah, that's like, actually, that's, I'm
episode
sorry.
25.
Yeah. I grew up on that kind of stuff. I actually started changing my thought process on like, I swear to God, the world's out to get me. Like, that's how we grew up. And really, shit did happen all the time. It was just ridiculous. But that's fucking life, you know?
Yeah.
And like, there was a point.
Get over it.
There was a point where it's like, you know, when are you going to stop focusing on all the negative shit and start being happy for what you have?
Yes.
And that's, I can say that today. I don't know that I'm going to be able to say that tomorrow morning. I don't know that I'm going to be able to think that way every day, but I don't know. There's a point. Yeah, you have to, like, there's a whole fake it till you make it factor, I think, with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
That's with life.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough as it is. Like, why go in being shitty and having a negative attitude about it? But sometimes I don't think, you know, speaking out and being angry about something is being shitty or negative. I think it's being fucking active.
Honest.
And aware. Like, yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I, like, at my job, like, my boss is one of those people that is very, like, and I love him. I really do. He treats me very well, but, like, he's one of those people that, like, you're never allowed to be in a bad mood. He's one of those people, in 25 years, I've never called off. I've been late once. Like, one of those guys.
Oh, those guys.
And it's like, dude, okay, I respect that. But not everybody is you. And he's always talking about mental toughness, this, that, the other thing. It's like, dude, I try to be that. I really
mental
do.
Mental toughness?
Yeah.
So what does he fucking know about mental toughness?
I mean,
that's fucking stupid.
I mean, Grant, he's gone through a lot of shit.
Okay.
So I'll give him that. But, like, my whole thing
it's
with it
shit
is,
heart
like,
there.
Well, like, it's not everybody's you, man. Like, not everybody can wake up and pretend to be happy.
Actually, I think maybe that guy's just, it's really easy for everybody to say, you know, what you gotta do is this. Mm-hmm. And I do it all the time. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I mean, I do it all the time. Like, I look at my friends
are
struggling.
I'm a fucking genius. Everybody
I'm like,
should ask me.
You know, this is maybe a way I think about. I try to choose words like, I feel like, and, mm-hmm. you know, like maybe if, or
no
stuff
absolutes.
Like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
a Sith does not
sometimes I'm just saying this shit out loud because I fucking need to hear it.
Yeah.
Like, well, me and my friends will laugh about it. Like, oh, yeah, you're really good at, you get your pep talks going when you're drunk too, but you also say this really fucking mean shit on other days. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll be someone's biggest supporter, number one fan, telling everybody, go for it, do it, you know, be you. And then the next minute you're like, you're a fucking piece of shit. You want to know why?
I think you guys can probably both agree, like, as three let's say crazy people.
Three crazy people.
As three crazy people, like, I think what we really should try to get across here is that when you're dealing with somebody with, or multiple people with mental illness or mental health issues, whatever you want to call it, it's very rare that they're going to be constant.
Nothing
you know,
is constant.
It's
Are
gonna
you kidding
be fucking,
for me?
It's going to be up and down all the time. Like, it's just the way that it is.
Oh,
and I think
amen.
People that need, they need to know that. Like, they need to understand that. Like, that's a big part of it. Like, you know what? Some days I wake up and I'm like, holy shit, I'm king of the fucking world. I got all this shit going on. And the next day I might just be like, fuck, I want to crawl under my bed and maybe die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And please stop projecting all of your nonsense on me. It's not going to work for me.
Are you talking to me or
no. I'm talking to everybody. There are very few people that I, you know, actually talk to about my damage because, like, I know we have similar damage. And then, like, I get shit from, like, well, why the fuck are you talking to her all the time? It's like, because we're both sick in the same way, so maybe shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And it's...
I feel like sick has a negative connotation.
You know, I do that all the time, though, and I'm still having trouble. Like, there are still things I'm getting used to saying and not saying. And I think that goes
That's the world
hand
we fucking
in hand.
Live in
yeah.
Now.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, everything's touchy, but at the same time, there are some things that just, it's so overdue to just fucking cut it out.
Yeah.
Like, stop making somebody, like, with the young girls, like, you know, or not just girls. It's not just girls. That was stupid, too. Like, here I go again.
No, I know what
it
you
just,
mean.
It's just, with the cutting or with the depression or somebody coming out with PTSD, like, everybody's got a fucking opinion, but nobody's got any helpful suggestions.
Right.
And
that's social media.
And, you know, sometimes
that's in general. This has been happening since like 1950. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's told to shut up about it or buck up. And like, we live in a great country and this and that. And it's like, yeah, but we have all these resources and we're not fucking using them. And this could be, a lot of people could be helped, and a lot of people could not be isolated if we just stop making people feel like shit about something that is chemical makeup or even circumstantial. Like, you know, your brain actually changes when some of these things happen to you, or it's like a, why can somebody go into a hospital and get treated for chest pain with having heart health issues, but somebody that walks into a hospital with anxiety and chest pain gets dismissed, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, I get the severity between the two, but also, like, why is it like that? Like, why do we treat mental, our brain is such a complex organ, and it's treat, like, all these mental health issues are treated as if it's just whatever. But then, you know, you have your liver and your heart and your, and like, cancer and everything, like, these things are treated right away. These things are treated with seriousness.
That's because they don't know.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't know, now you know.
Ninja.
There, that was perfect.
All right. Before we go, we have to shout out to our sponsors. Thank you, Britt Fox, X Fox Rocks on the Snapchat and Instagram. Thank you, Jess Fallstitch at Epic Fall on Twitter. And thank you, Plight of the Stripper Herder. That's Plight of the Stripper Herder at .blogspot.com. It is a blog chronicling one man's journey in the strip club industry as a floor guy. Sometimes it includes tips and tricks. Sometimes it includes bad experiences. Sometimes it includes good experiences. You never know until you read it. Plight of the Stripper Herder .blogspot.com.
Also, and thank you, Paul Wolf. Here at Lone, wait, what was I going to call it? Great Lone Wolf Lodge Recording Studios.
This place is so incredibly clean. I just have to shout out.
It is, I know, like for somebody our age.
I'm a cleaning
age,
lady,
like,
and I'm like, nah, dude, Paul.
He's probably got
OCD. You got a weekly girl coming up in here because I'm trying to take her job.
He's probably OCD.
Because she already did all the work.
He's probably OCD and crazy.
Oh, yeah, he's OCD and crazy.
Yeah. He looks crazy.
Yeah.
But, so And also, make sure that you go like The Hate Flow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And
subscribe.
Subscribe, and I know we've also mentioned it once before, but I have a podcast network now, and Jeremy Shear is on it. He has a show with Chris Paw and Ryan DiPerna called the Ad Hominem Attack Show. And it's kind of, what would you call it? It's like a...
It's
a partner piece.
It's me yelling at a guinea and a fucking cracker, and then whoever else they decide to drag in for me to yell at.
Except for me, you don't yell at me when I'm on the show.
I yelled at you last time.
Oh yeah, that's right, you did. But that I don't care. And on top of that, Ryan also has another show on the network called Fantasy Boys with Bill Squire and Brian Kenny.
That's Boys with a Z.
Yeah, Boys with a Z, where they talk about sports. And then James Earl Brassfield and Wilson Rivera are minorities. They have their show called Teach These Devils, where they call, I believe they said semi-fact-based, or based in fact, where they talk about, they're trying to teach these white devils, and I get it. And then also, last but not least, the Second Shot podcast with Devin Newsom and George Dunn, where they basically do what we do or the opposite of it. Just kidding. Their show is great. If you ever have something you want to give a second shot to or think that somebody should give a second shot to, go talk to them. It's awesome, and you can find everything if you search Above Below ENT on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that shit.
Yeah, so. It's all out there. Jordan's doing all the things. All the things. And since the subject came up, there are a lot of people in the area of Northeast Ohio doing good things to fight mental health stigma. For more information, please visit NAMI.org. You can also find out about the Acting Out Festival that we kind of talked about. It was glossed over, but it's a yearly festival put on by Derek Hess and his people.
And Marty Jaramita.
Yeah, part of Derek Hess's people.
Yep.
Marty and Angie and all of them.
Yep.
All
the proceeds go to mental health, right?
It's a great event. You can find out more information on that at actingoutcle.com. This past year, I got to open up for Pernan and Charla. And Andrew WK headlined the whole thing, and everything
took the words out of my mouth. That's what I was gonna say.
And everything was free.
You had to RSVP and sign up, and
yeah, everything was free. And I'm sure they're gonna do it again. It was a wonderful event this past year. And then Dina Mendelwitz, she's a locally famous improviser. Has a monthly show at Bar Louie, usually around the last Tuesday of the month, called Mental Illness and Friends, where she has, it's a talk show format where she has frank discussions about mental illness with creative professionals from Northeast Ohio. This coming Mental Illness and Friends sponsor, Just Falstick, is going to be on the show. So for more information on that, just search Mental Illness and Friends on the Twitter and the Facebook.
Before we go, I would just like to, unless you know it, I'm going to look it up. What's the suicide hotline? Do you know, just in case anybody doesn't know it?
No, but that's a great idea. I'm going to look it
up. Suicide hotline.
There are other people doing various other mental health geared things in the area, but if you're looking for help in Northeast Ohio, that's the one place that I know about. If you're in Kent, the Coleman Center is available. If you're in Akron, Portage Path is where you need to go.
I've heard great things. Sorry, I had to interject. I've heard a lot of good things about that. I hear they're affordable and
they work with you. Sliding scale network. They'll work with Medicaid and stuff like that. And then in Cleveland, I started my journey at Metro Health, and they referred me to Recovery Resources. So Recovery Resources is where I kind of got... You'd think it's like drugs, but it's everything. So
I typed in suicide hotline. There's actually two that I would like to talk about. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which I've heard a million times, is available 24 hours a day, and that's always 1-800-273-8255. And then there's another one that popped up called the Depression Hotline. It says anxiety, depression, PTSD, etc. And it's now mentalhealth.com, but they have a number, and it's 855-437-4452. So in case you don't want to talk to your friends and think you're bothering somebody, which you probably and most certainly never are.
Nope.
Call somebody that you don't know.
Also, if you're on Tumblr and search any mental illness tags, they'll refer you to resources. That's what I found out.
So
one last thing I had to say. Sure. I actually, this helped me moving back. I came back to Akron from Columbus after a breakup, and it was obviously I'm having some mental health issues, mm-hmm. but also drinking. So if anybody is just not sure about how they're going to go about their maybe drinking less or going to search for help or whatever you're doing, whatever your journey is, there is a great app called Trigger Health where you can just text somebody and maybe drink less. Maybe you're someone that's like not ready for the whole dry thing or not ready. They're actually very good at talking to you about issues, not just booze or it's drugs, alcohol, but it's called Trigger Health. And
Trigger Health.
Yep. It looks like you're just texting somebody at a bar. I've used it talking to you. Like, just, I probably should have another beer. You know, kind of things like that. It sounds really corny, but it's actually super helpful.
It helps, it helps.
Yep, it's super helpful.
Yeah, so Jordy.
Jordy, yeah, I'm actually going to start calling you Jordy. I hope you hate it a lot.
Thing.
Yeah.
No, it's a family thing. I don't care.
No, you won't even hear me say it. I'll just be like, oh, Jordy.
Yeah, that's
old
fine.
Jordy.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Shear.
Angel, thank you for coming on the program.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I wish I would have been a little bit more organized. That's
no,
just the way
fine.
I am.
This was great.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Jordy, I don't think anybody is going to hate mental health stigma as much as Angel.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge vapor. Daniels is drunk in me.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Oh no, it's Gojira.
No. That is a no reason.
Oh, it's just a fat New Western goober.
What you want, fat man? Micah Bowser? He in New Orleans. Go away!
Who is a Mike Bowser?
Very powerful wizard.
Meanwhile, in the Big Easy...
Boy, oh boy. I sure do enjoy being a writer down here in New Orleans. Nothing could ever bring me down. Oh no! It's Chris Clem! You will not destroy my village, you beast! Be gone with you back to Chicago! Oh no! He's too powerful! Curse you, giant! Your precious PH Comedy Theater will not survive the month. Ha ha ha. You'll never make another house team, you brute. Enjoy your sports ball minicast, sucker.
That's Chris Clem.